There are two bounties and blessings that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to this Ummah. The first is called Talimatun Nabi, the teachings and instructions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are those statements and those teachings that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself said, or that he practiced and demonstrated by means of practice, or those things that he was silent about when they took place in front of him. These are called Ta'limatun Nabi, the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the second thing is called Kifiyatun Nabi. Kifiyatun Nabi means the feelings and spiritual states and emotional states of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ta'limatun Nabi, his teachings were transmitted by word that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. The Sahaba then told the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in told the Tabi'i Tabi'in, and this became known as the hadith of the sunnah. But the kifiyat of the Prophet ﷺ, they were transferred from heart to heart. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, when they spent a long time in the companionship and company of the Prophet ﷺ, then their hearts became filled with the same feelings and spiritual states that the heart that the Prophet ﷺ had. Exactly like the way when you put a piece of non-magnetic steel next to a magnet, then that steel or iron becomes magnetized. Just like that, the Sahaba Ikram became magnetic when they were in the company of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they themselves then attracted towards them the Tabi'in. And that's why that even if they, when they were outside the company of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to feel a difference. For example, Sayyidina Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, he once was walking around saying, Nafaka Hanzala, that Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Why? Because he said that when I was with the Prophet ﷺ, I feel one way, and when I'm apart from the Prophet ﷺ, I feel somewhere else. So that hadith establishes that when they were in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, there was an effect on their heart. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi explained to him that if you always felt this way, if you always felt the way away from me that you feel with me, then the angels would descend from the heavens to shake your hand. So when you will see when in the moon, when it reaches its full moon in the 13th, 14th, 15th of the month, then it has an effect, gravitational attraction on the oceans of this world, that's when you call high tide in the waters. Why is that? So that is because the moon attracts and exerts its gravitational force on the waters of the ocean. And that causes the water to surge up and down and create a high tide. If the moon wasn't there, then the water would be still and calm. But when the moon comes in front of it, then the water starts surging and going up. Just like that, Sahaba Ikram were like that with the Prophet ﷺ. When they had Iman, it was not like they didn't have Iman, but their Iman was still and calm. And when they went in front of the Prophet ﷺ like the moon, then they would put their Iman into, their Iman would start surging. And they would have a kafiyat, a strained spiritual state would overcome them. And when they would go back home, then again their iman would become calm and still. But the water of the ocean is the same, whether it's low tide or high tide. Just like that, their iman was at the same level, it's just how much it was surging up and down. And the Sahaba could feel the surge in their iman when they were in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that I learned two things. I received two vessels of knowledge from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one I teach and disseminate and spread, but there's another one that if I was to share it with other people, they would come and they would chop my necks off. What was that second ilm? That was called ilmi marifat, the intimate deep knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he felt that he couldn't present that in front of everyone because they would not be ready for it.
So, Abdullah ibn Umar said that today, 10 of 9 parts of knowledge
When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, and his son Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said that today we are bearing 9/10 of knowledge. This is when he's passing away, he's taking 9/10 of knowledge with him. So the other Sahaba were surprised, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar responded that I'm not talking about knowledge of laws of Sharia, I'm talking about ilm billah, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two types of knowledge that have come. One is knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then one is knowledge about the book and the rules and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, these two Sahaba had the most of this knowledge. And that's why Sayyidina Rasulullah said about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate or Ali is its door. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq also got this knowledge in the most way when the Sahaba were not able to make a decision at any point. They would always go to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and ask him to make the decision for them. And when Surah An-Nasr was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ, all of the Sahaba were happy because they were being given the glad tidings of victory. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr was crying. And why? Because he realized that whenever the Prophet's work is completed, Allah Ta'ala will call that Prophet back up to him. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr had the understanding, deep understanding, to realize that this surah means that the victory will come, but after the victory, Allah Ta'ala will call the Prophet back to him. So he was crying at the prospect of being separated from the Prophet ﷺ. And the other Sahaba didn't have the depth to look at it, to understand it at such a level. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was also a mountain of istiqamah. That when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the Sahaba were milling around and there was confusion. But at that point, Sayyidina Abu Bakr stood up and he recited this ayah that know that Muhammad is nothing other than a Rasul and many, many prophets have passed away before him. And the Sahaba said that even though we had heard this ayah before, we felt as if it was being revealed for the first time. Means when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq recited it, it entered into our hearts as if it was entering for the first time. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he learned more what we call the Kamalat and Nabuwat from the Prophet, and Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu learned more about the Kamalat and Wilayat. How did Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq get this Kamalat and Nabuwat knowledge? Because he had the most love for the Prophet more than any other Sahaba. He was the true, sincere, devout lover of the Prophet ﷺ. And the level of love that he had for the Prophet ﷺ, there's no Sahaba who loved the Prophet ﷺ as much as he did. Unmatched, unparalleled love for the Prophet ﷺ. That is why different Sahaba used to mention things that were beloved to them. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said that there are three things that I also love very much in this world. And the Prophet asked him, what? He said, number one, to look at your face, to gaze upon you. Number two, to spend my wealth for you. And number three, to present my daughter to you in marriage. But all of the three things that he loved in this world, they were all related to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is how he surpassed and excelled the other Sahaba. And Sayyidina Rasulullah himself said that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq gave me such more benefit than any other Sahaba has. In fact, the Prophet also said that I have fulfilled and compensated all of the people who have done good to me, but Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he has done so much good for me that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to compensate him for the good that he has done for me. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, so Sayyidina Rasulullah knows that Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that there is no, you know, that can good be compensated except by good, It's the ayah of Quran. So Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW would have tried to have returned the ihsan to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, but he said that I'm not able to return the ihsan of Abu Bakr. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to return the ihsan on the Day of Judgment. That's why when the Prophet SAW raised funds, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq would have brought all of his wealth. So Sayyidina Umar used to say that when the Prophet ﷺ asked to fundraise, I was very happy. And I thought that today I will take out Sayyidina Abu Bakr, I will surpass him because I had more money. But Allah Ta'ala wanted something else to happen. So Allama Iqbal, a famous poet, he has explained this in poetry. That one day the Prophet ﷺ told his companions that whomsoever has wealth, they should donate their money in the path of haq, in the path of truth. So Sayyidina Umar was so happy when he heard this call, and that day he had thousands and thousands of dirhams. So in his heart he thought that today certainly I will be able to surpass and excel Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq without the know. So then he brought the money to the Prophet and the Prophet asked Sayyidina Umar that is this what is it that you have brought in your love for Allah? And Sayyidina Umar then presented the Sayyidina Umar said that this is half of my wealth is for, so I'm keeping half of the wealth for my family and children, and the other half of the wealth I'm giving for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then at the same time Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar came. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq came. So Allah Iqbal phrases this way that in the same moment the beloved companion of the Prophet ﷺ came, means Abu Bakr, and whose love had no parallel amongst the Sahaba. And he brought all of his wealth and presented every last penny to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that you should also have some concern for your family. So he said, what did he say, that true lover of the Prophet? He said that there is nothing that me and my family need in front of any need that you have. Just like for the bee, they just like the flower, and just like the moth, for them is just the candle. For Abu Bakr, all I have is you. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq had such a level of love that he surpassed all the Sahaba in his love for the Prophet ﷺ. This is why in another place Allama Iqbal has said, at the same way that Sayyidina Musa al-Islam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala spoke to Sayyidina Musa al-Islam on the mountain of Tur. So he said that my Mount Tur is the Prophet ﷺ, because just like Allah Ta'ala sent his tajalli on the Mount Tur, just like that Allah Ta'ala sent his tajalli on the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr is the Kaleem of the Prophet ﷺ, because he got to see the Prophet ﷺ. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq had more of the knowledge of the Kamalat and Nubuwwat, the perfections of Prophethood. And by means of that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq reached a level which is called Ma'iyat al-Kubra, the most close relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. And this was bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, comes in Quran, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ma'iyat and companionship is with us. So because of that ma'iyat, because of his close companionship with the Prophet ﷺ, he learned the most about the prophetic perfections the knowledge of the prophetic perfections that the Prophet ﷺ brought to this world. Once some students of knowledge asked Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Nanutam Tanai that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's level is extremely high, but the Prophet ﷺ said that if there had been a Prophet, were there ever to be a Prophet after me, lakana Umara, it would be Umar. So they asked Maulana Yaqub Nanutam that why didn't the Prophet say Abu Bakr? So the student of knowledge, many times such questions arise to them. So Maulana Yaqub Nanutam explained to them, and he said that look, that the Abu Bakr Siddiq was so close to the Prophet, was inseparably attached to the Prophet, the two of them, the twain of them were like one. So when the Prophet ﷺ said that Laukana Badi, if it was after me, so after me would be somebody who would be separate from me, who would not be joined with me. So saying the Prophet ﷺ could not imagine that Abu Bakr could ever be separated from him. So if there was to be a Prophet after him, i.e. separate from him, so the second rank of Sahaba is that of Sayyidina Umar. And we can see a lot of similarity between the life of the Prophet ﷺ and the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq in their personality, in the different circumstances that came into them in their life, even in their family life. And their akhlaq, their manners and feelings were such that when the Prophet ﷺ was returning from the mountain, the cave of Hira, so the Prophet's wife, Ummu Khadija al-Kubra, she told the Prophet ﷺ that indeed, O Prophet, you are the one who mends the relations, and you are the one who honors the guests, and you are the one who guards the trust. So Ummu Mu'mineen Khadija, she enumerated certain specific characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ. And she was saying that because of these attributes, because of these traits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you go to waste. Allah ta'ala must have surely selected you for something great. So this is what the wife of the Prophet ﷺ is saying. So she had seen these particular features in the personality of the Prophet ﷺ. Now let's look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, that when the unbelievers were making life difficult for the believers, from the very early period of Makkah Mukarramah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr asked the Prophet some permission to migrate to Abyssinia, to Ethiopia. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr was on his way, he left Makkah Mukarramah and he was on his way towards Ethiopia, there was one leader of the Quraysh by the name of Ibn Dagna. And he asked him, "Oh Abu Bakr, where are you going?" And Abu Bakr says, "I'm going to migrate to Ethiopia." So Abu Dagna said that if such a good person like you doesn't stay in Makkah Mukarramah, then who is there who is fit to stay in Makkah? So then he counted out the same attributes and said that indeed you, the same words that Ummu Mu'minin Khadija used for the Prophet ﷺ, the exact same words Ibn Dagna, who was an unbeliever at that time, he used for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So they had a complete likeness to one another, Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then in Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ that you are bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim, that you are extremely soft and gentle and tender and merciful with the believers. So two words Allah ta'ala used were ra'uf and rahim to describe the Prophet ﷺ. And if we look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said about him that arham ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr, that the most merciful and the most soft towards the rest of the ummi, to the ummah of my ummah, is Abu Bakr. From all of my ummah, the one who has the most mercy towards his fellow members of the ummah is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Allah Ta'ala called the Prophet ﷺ Rahim, and the Prophet ﷺ said that Sayyidina Abu Bakr was Arham, was the most Rahim of his Ummah. So again, they have the same type of traits and same attributes. Then another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala has, I am the most Ghairat, I have the most self-respect from all the members of the Ummah, and Allah Ta'ala has most ghira or self-respect. And then Sayyidina Rasulullah said the same thing about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, that the person who had the most iman and ghirat, dignity and self-respect and honor for iman, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that, O my beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have not taught you the knowledge of poetry because it does not befit you. And just like that was the same case of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Ibn Asakir has mentioned this hadith from Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that in pre-Islamic Arabia, Sayyidina Abu Bakr did not say poetry, and nor did he recite poetry after Islam. He was not a person who knew the art of poetry. And just like that, the Prophet also is described in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said, we do not teach you poetry, for it does not befit you to be a poet. Sayyidina Rasulullah never ever touched alcohol in his own life. And Jalaluddin Asyuti has written that Sayyidina Abu Bakr also never ever touched alcohol or liquor even before he was Muslim. The Quran al-Karim has certified and testified to the purity of the Prophet and Allah Ta'ala says that you were pure, and just like that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr was similarly pure when it came time to migrate to Medina Munawwara. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr secretly took out some milk from some goats, Sayyidina Abu Bakr secretly took out some milk in a bowl for the Prophet, and on his way taking it to the Prophet, he put his cloth on it because he didn't want one speck of dust to enter the milk that he was preventing to the Prophet. So just like the Prophet was very pristine and pure and fastidious about cleanliness, just like that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was equally fastidious about cleanliness. Once the Prophet was also attacked by a group of the unbelievers, and then the Sahaba came and rescued the Prophet. Just like that, once Sayyidina Abu Bakr was also attacked by the unbelievers, and the other Sahaba came and they saved him. So they were both attacked and surrounded by unbelievers. And Sayyidina Rasulullah invited many, many people, and he got a line such as Sayyidina Umar to accept Islam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr also invited many people to Islam, and he got a line such as Sayyidina Hamza to accept Islam. When the unbelievers were pressing the Prophet and the Prophet's uncle Sayyidina Hamza at that time asked the Prophet to consider what they were saying, the Prophet said that, "Oh my uncle, if they were put the sun in one hand and the moon in one hand, even then I would not leave the message with which I have been sent to convey. Means I couldn't care less at all what people say. I'm going to remain steadfast on the mission and message Allah Ta'ala sent me with." Just like that, in the time of the Khilafat, the Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, there were some Muslims who were refusing to pay the zakat, and even such a bold and brave Sahaba like Sayyidina Umar, he told Sayyidina Abu Bakr that don't fight them, don't give them some time. And so Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said that, "Ayyurta Siddinu wa ana hay." First he said that, "Oh Umar, that in Jahiliyyah you were such a lion and you were so brave and bold, and now you become weak and cowardly that you've entered Islam." So Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that no, that army that the Prophet ﷺ had sent and had made intention to send against these people who are paying the zakat, I'm certainly going to send that army. even if it means leaving Medina unprotected, even if it means that animals enter into Medina and even eat our women alive, it makes no difference to me. I'm going to send forth that army that the Prophet ﷺ had intended to send. Because how can somebody not pay zakat? So just like the Prophet ﷺ was extremely steadfast on the establishment of deen, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was extremely steadfast in establishing the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the two of them in the Quran, that they were, it was the second of the two when the two of them were in the cave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Prophet ﷺ, the second of the two in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ also said, referred to Abu Bakr as the second of them two in a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ becomes the crown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ in Quran that La tahzan, you should not grieve, you should not have sorrow. And in Quran it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said the same words to Abu Bakr, and then he said La tahzan, don't grieve and sorrow, but in Allah aman, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. So we see such close parallels between the lives and words and circumstances of the Prophet ﷺ and of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So much so that even when a person would call a name, even these two names would often be called together. For example, the Sahaba, they used to say Ya Rasulullah to the Prophet ﷺ, that, oh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr was Amir al-Mu'mineen, they would call him Ya Khalifati Rasulullah. They wouldn't say Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they wouldn't say Ya Abu Bakr, they said Ya Khalifati Rasulullah. And when they left for migration to Madinah Munawwara, so the unbelievers made a reward of 100 camels for the person who finds the Prophet ﷺ. And if anybody finds Abu Bakr, they would get the same reward, 100 camels. Even their thinking was exactly the same. Whatever was the thinking of the Prophet ﷺ, that was the same way that Sayyidina Abu Bakr used to think. So much so did they think the same way, that once the Prophet ﷺ, when he was trying to decide what to do with the prisoners who were captured at Badr, Sayyidina Umar gave a view, other Sahaba gave views, and when Sayyidina Abu Bakr gave the view that we should take ransom from them and then free them on the payment of ransom, and Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ got smiled and he issued his decision according to the suggestion of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Later on in Sulh of Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sayyidina Umar was very astonished that we did not give in to the unbelievers at Badr, and now we have come in the thousands, and all of a sudden, why are we negotiating this treaty with the unbelievers? And there's unfavorable conditions, that the unbelievers said that if one of us becomes a Muslim, he will have to return to us. But when of you, if Muslims become the unbeliever, we won't return to you. So outwardly, it was like a one-sided deal that favored the unbelievers much more, and it made it, apparently it seemed as if the Muslims were under duress to accept this agreement. So Sayyidina Umar did not want to accept this treaty. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ that have we become so weak that we need to now engage in this treaty with them? To Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he came, and he said, "Don't." He's reprimanded Umar, and he said, "Don't you know that the Prophet is a Nabi? He doesn't speak on his own accord. He only speaks when Allah tells him revelation to him. So whatever he has decided, that is sufficient for us, and we are going to follow exactly what he decided." So whatever the Prophet's thinking was, at the same, exactly the same thinking can be found in Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr used to follow the Prophet closely in each and everything that the Prophet used to do. There was a garden, and that the Bani Hashim had, and the Prophet used the the produce and the money that was earned from that garden orchard and spent it on the orphan children of the Bani Hashim. After the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq decided the same thing, that I will continue to use the wealth and money that is raised from that land for the orphan children of Bani Hashim. Some unbelievers went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him that we are willing to accept Iman as long as you can. If you, can you waive this requirement to pray? And the Prophet ﷺ told them that no, I cannot waive the requirement to pray. Just like that, there were some Muslims in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq who wanted to waive the requirement to pay zakat. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, no, I cannot waive the requirement to pay zakat. So just like the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't waive a farz, just like that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq wouldn't waive a farz. The Prophet ﷺ engaged in a jihad called Ghazwat Zatu Salasim. And when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and then Musaylimah Kazab again became murtad, so then Sayyidina Abu Bakr then fought a war against him, just like the Prophet ﷺ had fought a war against him. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Amr bin As was the Sahaba who was leading the army. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, in his entire life that he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he also would appoint the same Sahaba, Amr bin As, to be the leader, the military leader of the Islamic expeditions. In the 9th of Hijri, the Prophet ﷺ sent Sayyidina Abu Bakr as the Emir of the delegation of Hajj. And the 10th of Hijri, the Prophet ﷺ himself became the Emir of Hajj. When the Prophet ﷺ grandson Sayyidina Hassan used to come to him, he used to put him on his shoulders. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he was walking in the lanes of Medina, he saw Sayyidina Hassan and he picked him up and he also put him on his shoulders. So we find exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did. Sayyidina Abu Bakr used to do the same thing. And this wasn't just their own individual similarity. Even there was similarity in their families. The Prophet's son-in-law, Sayyidina Usman and Sayyidina Ali Rana became the son-in-laws of the Prophet. They were both married to the daughters of the Prophet. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was his son-in-law, number one, Sayyidina Zubair bin Dhanu, also from the Sabiqun, also from the Ashra Mubashra. So Sayyidina Rasulullah had sons-in-law who were from the Ashra Mubashra. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq had a son-in-law who was also from Ashra Basra. The Prophet's son-in-laws were from the Muhajirin. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's son-in-law was also from the Muhajirin. So we can see a munasabat even in their son-in-laws. And if we look at the daughters, the Prophet's daughter, Sayyidina Fatima Radhana, she is going to be the leader of all the women in Jannah. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he also had a daughter, Sayyidina Aisha Radhana. So the Prophet said about her, that Aisha has the superiority over all women, the same way Sarid, which is a special dish to eat, has superiority over all other foods. In the home of the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Fatima, she lived a simple life and she lived a life of poverty most of her life. And she used to grind the flour herself and she used to get blisters on her hands. Just like that, the daughter of the Prophet, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Aisha, she also lived a humble life of poverty and she used to grind the wheat with her own hands and get blisters on her hands. The Prophet ﷺ had grandsons, Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein bin Adhanuhma. What happened was when the grandson, Sayyidina Hussein, he refused to give bayat to the later Khalifa by the name of Yazid, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair, he was the grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he also refused to give bayat to Yazid. So both of the grandsons, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ and the grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they refused to acknowledge the Khilafat of Yazid. Just like Sayyidina Hussein was made Shaheed, just like that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair was Shaheed. So both of their grandsons were martyred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Sayyidina Hussein Manana was martyred, all of his close relatives were all martyred. His own brother Sayyidina Hassan and every other close family members. Just like that Abdullah bin Zubair, before he was made Shaheed, his close relatives were made Shaheed first, and then he was made Shaheed, then he was martyred. So even their grandsons meet, their situations and circumstances of the grandsons are very similar. Then their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was also very similar. How is that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the Prophet as sahibukum, that he is your the companion of the people of Makkah Mukarramah. Just like that in Hadith and Bukhari, the Prophet referred, told Abu Bakr, told the Sahaba that Abu Bakr is sahibukum, that Abu Bakr is your companion. So the exact same word sahibukum that is used in Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet, the same word is used by the Prophet for Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Then once the Prophet, when he was ill, he had deputed Abu Bakr to lead the prayer in his place. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was leading the prayer one day in a 4-rakat namaz, and then the Prophet came out in the middle and he relieved Abu Bakr Siddiq of duty. So there's even one prayer salah like that, that 2 rakats were led by Sayyidina Abu Bakr and 2 rakats were led by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just like the unbelievers called the Prophet Majnoon, there were unbelievers who called Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq Majnoon. When the Prophet was returning from Taif, a person by the name of Mut'am bin Adi, he gave sanctuary to the Prophet. In other words, he told the people of Makkah that I have the guarantee and I protect the Prophet. Just like that, when the Prophet came back, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr came back from Abyssinia, then Ibn Adjna said that he would protect him and grant him his security and sanctity. The Prophet said that I am the most pious of humanity, but that I am not have any vanity or arrogance about that. Just like that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said that Allah SWT said in the Quran this word atqa, the person who has the most taqwa. So the Mufassirin agreed that from all of you, the one who was the most taqwa is the one that was the most honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the Mufassirin agreed that atqa, the one who was the most pious, is none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Another ayah, Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet that we will give you, your Rabb will give you so much that you will be complete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like that, another place, the same word is used for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq bin Abu Bala Sofi Yarda, and soon you will be pleased to your heart's content. Those people who followed the Prophet, they were given the glad tidings, that if you do ittiba' sunnah, you follow the sunnah, then Allah Ta'ala will love you. And those people who did bad and followed the Prophet, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned another promise for them, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunuhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them and they love Allah. Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet that, and O Prophet, don't grieve over them. And Abu Bakr Siddiq was told the same thing by the Prophet, don't have any grief, because indeed Allah Ta'ala is with us. So when we look at their life stories, we saw a lot of parallels and similarities in their life stories. So much so that even when a person is leaving this world, they don't have the choice as to when they're going to leave the world and how they're going to leave the world. But Sayyidina Rasulullah passed away at the age of 63. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq also passed away at the age of 63. Lunar years. Sayyidina Rasulullah was born. Both of their occasions of birth, they were Sayyidina Rasulullah is born, is buried in the same place that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is buried in the same place that Sayyidina Rasulullah is buried. They're both buried underneath the same hujra, the same room and quarters of Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha. So that one wali said that the elements of the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to make the Prophet, whatever was left from that, Allah ta'ala used to make Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Then there was some left again from that, then that was used to make Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu. That's why these three, because they were all made from the same earth, they've all returned and are buried and are resting in the same piece of earth in Madinah Munawwarah. Imam al-Bani has said a very wondrous, incredible thing. He uses this word. He says that the Prophet, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr is a, it's a Persian word. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is the hamkhana of the Prophet. What does it mean? It means that he's saying that just because they were so close to another, they had Mayyat Kubra. So in Jannat also they will be together, they won't be separate. In fact, that the home, he went so far to say the home of Sayyidina Rasulullah will be two-story home. At the top floor will be the Prophet, and the bottom ground floor will be Sayyidina Abu Bakr. That's the level of Mayyat they have. One can only imagine that the Prophet would have a house like that in Jannat.
کمال درجے کے جو علوم تھے کمالات نبوت والے وہ سیدنا صدیق کے کمال میں
and the knowledge of the perfection of prophethood that the Prophet ﷺ brought, that was received the most by Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Ulum-e Wilayat spread through Sayyidina Ali ibn and two, three major sisters of the Tasawwuf, Chishti, Qadr and Thirawandi. And Ulum of Nubuwwat spread through Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq Rannana. In one Sisla, in Naqshbandi Sisla. And this doesn't mean that Sayyidina Ali Rannana didn't have the Ulum of Nubuwwat, or that Sayyidina Abu Bakr didn't have the Ulum of Walayat. They both had the other one as well. But in Sayyidina Ali, Ilm of Walayat was ghalib or dominant over Ulum of Nubuwwat. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, when the ilm and nubuwwat was ghalib and dominant over ilm and wilayat. Therefore you will see the same thing when you look at the silsilas of the tasawwuf. We will understand something that will make it even more clear. That in the other silsilas, that all the silsilas go through Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu, so they all got nisbat through Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu. After Sayyidina Ali, the nisbat was given to Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri radhiyallahu anhu. All three silsilas, Qadri, Chishti, Surawardi, they all center on Shaykh Hassan al-Basri radhiyallahu anhu. And the Naqshbandi Silsila went from the Prophet to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and from him to Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi. From Salman al-Farsi it went to the Tabi, Sayyidina Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abu Bakr Siddiq. So in our Naqshbandi Silsila there are two Sahabas, and the rest there is just one Sahaba. What is the reason? The reason is that when the Prophet ﷺ was transferring his nisbat to Sayyidina Ali, when he was a Sahaba, so he was able to bear the weight of that nisbat. And then naturally, then after that, he would send nisbat to convey the nisbat to a Tabi, to a follower Sahaba. But in the Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's case, that he got the exact same nisbat from the Prophet, there was no Tabi who could take it from him. No Tabi had the zarf or the ability to take it directly. So then Allah Ta'ala had the nisbat sent to yet another prophet, another companion. And who was that? Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu. And then for the second companion, then it was toned down and it could be now disseminated on humanity. Just like if there's an 11,000 volt electric transformer, and there's another one which is 444 volts. So the one that is 444 volts, a person can connect a 220 volt plug to it directly. But if you want to connect to the 2 kilowatt one, even then you have to go through the other power source. So just like that, a person who wants to get close to the Sunnah of the Prophet must first make himself close to the Sunnah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
چنانچہ دوسرے سلاسل کے جتنے سالکین ہیں کاملین
and the کاملین سالکین of the other
سلسلہ
compared to the کاملین who have passed in this قسمان سلسلہ every flower has its own color, its own fragrance. So for those salikin, they have more effects of the knowledge of wilayat. And our silsila, our salikin, have more effect of kamalat and nubuwwat, the perfections of prophethood. And as he says that if you have spent time with awliya and you have seen, met awliya from different silsilas, you would know that you can discover these things very easily. And those people who are following the path of wilayat, they are the ones who eat and drink. They deliberately reduce their eating and their drinking. But the person who is traveling the path of suluk and nubuwwat, they eat whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, viewing it as the bounty and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the mahoon du'as. So Hazrat said that when a person gives bayat to us, we don't command them to have less than 3 morsel meals. In other words, some awliya used to say that from now on when you eat, you can only eat 3 bites and that's it. So Sayyidina Hazrat Murshid Anwar, they used to tell people, you should work well and then eat well. So you can eat well only if you first worked well. So you must work well and then eat well. These people who have this ill ulum of wilayat, they don't like to meet people so much. They like to stay in their khanka. However, that person who has the ilm of nubuwwat, he's always traveling, he's making dawah, he's constantly exposing himself to new people, because that is the mission of the Prophet and the Messenger. Lastly, those who are on the path of wilayat, they won't heed a command unless they know it to be absolutely obligatory. Whereas the people who are following the path of nubuwwat, there's nothing more important to them than the awamah and nawahi. There's nothing more important to them than any commandments that the Prophet ﷺ has given or anything, injunctions that he's told us to stay away from. That's why the people who are following the path of wilayat, they don't make lots of du'as because they're trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas in the path of Nubuwwat, the person makes much more du'a because that was the prophetic way. The prophetic way with the Prophet made du'a. So then the person who is traveling this silsila on this path will also make du'a. The people who are following the path of wilayat, they also adopt asbab. Sometimes they think things will happen without asbab. Whereas the person who is following the method of the kamalat of nubuwwat, the Naqshbandi silsila, they always make sure to arrange and make use of all the asbab. And you will see even people who are working in the line of khatm nubuwwat, they will always have more love for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But the person who is following the path of Nubuwwat, they can never ever imagine skipping any rule of Sharia. Whereas the person who is following the path of Wilayat, they may sleep through their Fajr, they may miss their Zikr. On some small excuse, they will become mahroom of Ibadah.
Asar Saluk-e-Nubuwwat walon par sahab ghalib hota hai, hosh ghalib rehta hai.
And those who are following the path of Sluk and Nubuwwat, they are extremely conscious and aware at all times. And they have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghalib inside of them. And in their heart, what is ghalib in their heart is that they love Iman. And by means of these awliya, there are a lot of karamat that took place. And the people who follow the path of Sluk of Nubuwwat, they get a lot of ilmi ma'arif, they get a lot of subtle points of knowledge opened up for them. So there's a term in the language of tasawwuf. One is called salik majzub, and there's another term called majzub salik. So majzub means that person who Allah Ta'ala is attracting them towards Him, who Allah Ta'ala is drawing the person towards them. So those people who follow the path of wilayat, they're always looking as if they're poor, tattered clothing, etc. Whereas a person who's following the path of nubuwwat, they're trying to adorn their clothes with the beauty that the sunnah deserves and is entitled to. Sheikh Thanvin Abdullah explained this in one of his books. But the Mashaikh of the Chishtiyya Silsila, they have a lot more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ones who are following the Naqshbandi way, they have much more love for the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the nisbat that was transferred onward for Sayyidina Abu Bakr bin Abdullah, that was on the basis of following the sunnah of the Prophet. Whereas the other mashayikh and awliya said that we will make people travel the path of suluk, making them do mujahada on nafs. But our silsila, with just one mujahada, is do everything according to sunnah. That's it. And in fact, if you realize it, that this is the greatest task that a person should set out to do everything according to the sunnah of the Prophet. Either way, whether this path of tasawwuf is followed through the means of the Kamalat of Nubuwwat or the Kamalat of Walayat, every journey or the destination is the same, the journey is the same. And what is that destination? That a person should become so pure from inside, should remove all memory, worry, etc. sin, then they become as if they're completely sin-free. And their dua should also be that I will become, make myself a devout follower of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I want to. In this time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, the day we completed the verses reversing to you, and we've completed your deen for you, we're doing this so that you may become a person who reflects. Once the person was asked to wali that what is the meaning of the tasawwuf, he said that the tasawwuf means that you should remove, you should stop doing all sin, and you should remove even all of the feelings and inclinations to sin from your heart and breast. Once a person asked another shaykh from our silsila, then what is the tasawwuf? So he said that the tasawwuf is not to cry, nor to make cry. The tasawwuf is not about crying or making others to cry, nor is it about flying or making others to fly. Actually, we are just here to please our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the maqsad of our time here. That somehow Allah ta'ala can become pleased with us, Allah ta'ala can become razi with us. So that person who works on their heart in any of these ways, then their heart will become pure. And what we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, ability to work on our heart. So Sayyid Sheikh Haji Abdullah Mahajan Makram Tanai was also originally bayat in the Naqshbandi Silsila to Mawlana Abdul Rahim and Dehlavi. And then later on he gave bayat to Hazrat Haji Abdullah Mahajan Makram. So he was living in Bangladesh when he got news that the Sheikh had passed away. So he immediately wrote a letter to different people in the world saying that I'm a spiritual orphan and I'm willing to join forces or come to you. We also see that wherever you see the nisbat with the Naqshbandi Sassan, you will find ittiba'i sunnat. So as the Haji Sahib had both the namats inside of him, he was the Majma al-Barhan, he was where the two oceans and large bodies of water merged. So Sayyidina Hussain Radhanahu had love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also had deep following of the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should also have these two things, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these very two things. Do miraculous for some time. Imagine Allah Ta'ala's mercy is coming into your heart, it is gathering in your heart, and because of the mercy of Allah, all the darkness in your heart due to your sins is going away, and that your spiritual heart, your qalb is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. We are your weak and sinning servants, Ya Allah. Forgive us for our sins, overlook our shortcomings. Ya Allah, we ask that you hide and conceal our faults. Ya Allah, purify our gaze, clean our hearts. Ya Allah, fill our breast with loves for you. And Ya Allah, we ask that you light the undying flame of love for you in our heart. Ya Allah, we ask that you make us a person of zikr. Make us zikr in our ruh, zikr in our bones, zikr in our bodies. Dip us down to our very core. Ya Allah, we ask that you do our islah. We ask that you make our qalb, our spiritual hearts, manawar. Ya Allah, we ask that you enable us to leave all sins. We never want to do a sin. And in Bikareem, we ask that you give us the honor and grace of worshipping obedience to you. Ya Allah, give us the presence of heart and prayer. Grant us the happiness of sajda. Ya Allah, let us taste the sweetness of true faith. Ya Rabbi Kareem, our age is going. We're getting only and older, older and older. When will we feel the sweetness of true iman? Ya Allah, we ask that you send your mercy on us. We ask that you accept our tawbah. Ya Allah, we ask that you take us out from all of our sin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you do the tazkiyah of our nafs and grant the tazfiyah to our qalb. And Ya Allah, any work that we have that is pending, Ya Allah, help us to complete it. Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem, by means of your mercy, we ask that you accept our du'as. Ya Allah, wherever, from wherever people are come in the world to be here with us, Ya Allah, we ask that you fulfill your virtuous desires. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, your servants and slaves, they've left their own homes, and they've come to your home, and they've come to your masjid, and they're raising their hands to you. And Ya Allah, the questioner and the beggar, they're beggars, and they're begging you of your mercy. Ya Allah, you yourself said in the Quran that we should not turn away the beggar. Ya Allah, we are beggars of your mercy. Ya Allah, send your mercy upon us. Cast just one glance of mercy on our hearts. Ya Allah, you yourself told in the Quran that we should behave with the good people, should behave good with other, with people who are bad. Ya Allah, we are bad and you are good. Ya Allah, we ask that you send your rahmah and mercy upon us. Ya Allah, we ask that you make us all forgiven this night. Ya Allah, this is the last 10 days, which is the emancipation from the hellfire. Ya Allah, write our name and those people who you have freed from the hellfire. Ya Allah, we ask that you save us from the torment of hellfire. Ya Allah, we ask that you accept these du'as. Sallallahu